all of your blessings on us, God. You have been so good to us. We thank you for health and strength and just life in general. We thank you, Lord, for being with us and how you bless us each day. And God, we're thankful for your word that directs us. We ask your blessings on this offering. Help us to give back just a portion, dear God, of what you have given us. And we thank you for it. Use it to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. One of these days, but it won't be on this side of heaven. At least that's my desire in heaven. I won't be a piano player because I can't do it here. I can't even make a joyful noise on the thing. So, all right, the joy bells are going to ring for us, and then we'll have, I think we're going to have maybe a congregational song and then the preaching. So I'm gonna get out of the way and But if you're visiting with us here, I'm looking around. I don't see any visitors, but that my eyesight's not that great. So if you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you. And I'd like to invite everybody back tonight as well. 316 will be singing tonight. And so just like to invite you back tonight, if at all possible. All right?
The joy bells are ringing two songs about the cross this morning, the old rugged cross and When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. We hope you like our songs.
Fair Plain Union is joining us tonight, so 316 and Fair Plain Union's choir together tonight.
Just a quick reminder, next Sunday morning, we'll have the anchorman here to sing for us in our worship service, and I'd like to have a good crowd for him. And then coming up in April, the 22nd on Sunday night, a good friend of my dad's that Dad used to sing with every year during Christmas time is going to be coming through, and he's going to sing for us. Him and his wife, Roy Polly, and his wife, Amy, are going to sing for us on April the 22nd, Sunday night. But next Sunday, the anchorman, and those of you that know him, Scott Mullins here from Charleston, used to sing with the Praisemen and King's Harmony with Greg. He now sings with the anchorman, and he'll be here. So it's kind of the get a chance to come home for the weekend. But get your hymnal. Turn to 165. Let's all stand and sing. 165.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Cheering tonight, might as well cheer this morning. Bless you, Lord.
Jimmy, I gotta say, thank the Lord. Around Christmas time, I was at the doctor, and she felt something in my throat and said it felt lovely. She wanted to send me for an ultrasound, so at Christmas, I did that and got some news that I had 3 tumors in my throat. And I didn't really tell a whole lot of people. Dad's got this heart issue. We didn't want to worry him, we didn't want to worry the kids. I went for a biopsy and they stuck 3 needles in my throat, and I got the news this week that everything was fine. And I really want to thank the Lord for that.
a struggle right now, but he has done great things for me. And if you've gone to this church very long, you know that my mantra kind of is, God has been with me all the days of my life. No matter what, I might feel.
Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless
you.
Bless her heart. Bless you.
My name's Phil Moore.
Someone have a testimony.
Bless the Lord.
Somebody testify. We'll get you on.
I've been through the trials, I've been through the tribulations, and I'm coming out.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
Went through these trials. He's seen these tribulations. If you don't know what to do, go to him. Talk to him. Tell him about it. Because he knows you. He knows all about you. All he wants you to do is talk to him.
Amen.
You just got to come to him. Folks, you pray for me and I'll be able to go to him.
Amen. Amen.
Bless God.
Testimonies in order. Just because I'm standing here don't mean it's my turn, but anybody else? I'll sit down if you need me to. Anybody else have a testimony? It's a great place. It's a great place to be this morning. I don't want to quench it. Anybody have a testimony? I'm going to ask Pastor Al, would you stand and pray for me?
Thank you. Beautiful morning to you and your house. The worship we experience. Father, we ask the anointing to be on Brother Jimmy. Give us ears to hear, Lord, and mind our Father to receive you. Father, empower him. It'll not be Jimmy, but it'll be you speaking to him. Father, use it all to your glory in Christ's name.
Amen. Court is now in session. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand before you today to declare that today, March 18, 2018, is Judgment Day. Think not of any plans you may have today or otherwise, for the former things have passed away. It is just you here now. Think not about the way in which you entered the sanctuary this morning, for you will not be leaving the same way that you came in. Every man, woman, and child will stand before the judgment seat today. Every man, woman, and child will leave through one of two doors. The door to my right, which leads to everlasting life in paradise. The door to my left, to everlasting torment and sorrow, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Those refusing to go this way will be escorted with force. Let us now consider the way in which you will be judged. God himself will appear before us momentarily, and each person will be called by name to stand before him. Nothing that has been done in secret that won't be seen today. Attendance rolls will not be looked at. Family connections will not be considered. Social status is irrelevant. He will not be looking to see if the good deeds of your life outweigh the bad. He will be looking for one thing and one thing only: whether or not you are covered by the blood of the Lamb, which is his Son, Jesus Christ. No other consideration will be given. Let us begin. The first name to be called. What was that all about? That was a preview of what we have in front of us. a preview. It took everything in me to do that. Kind of hard. But you've been given a preview this morning, just a small glimpse of what is to come. A preview means to look before. In other words, to see something that is ahead. And that is what is ahead of us. Except it'll be much more different. It'll be much more final. And it'll be a point of no return when that happens. When I was thinking about this, you know, the Lord put this on my heart a little while ago, and, you know, tried every way to get out of it. You know, it's kind of tough sometimes to preach on these things. But we do preach on these things out of love. The Bible says that if we do not these things out of love, then we are a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And I was thinking about this preview and about, you know, what to say and everything, and I was thinking about a stress test. A stress test. You know, I know that many people in here are familiar with stress tests. Many people who have had issues with their heart, the doctor orders them to go in and get a stress test. And they go in. Micah used to work at the EKG lab in Memorial. And they hook you up to a bunch of things, and they push you to the limit. And they get your heart rate up, and they put stress on your heart. Why do they do that? They don't do that because they don't like you. They don't do that because they want you to suffer. They do that so they can see the condition of your heart. This morning, I give this analogy this morning to see the condition of your heart. Not for me to look at. Not for me to look at, but for each individual to think, if today was the day of judgment. And that's not hard to imagine, folks. Today could be the day that you stand before the Lord. Today could very well be the day. This could be the hour that you stand before the Lord. Just because you're in church doesn't make you safe from physical things that happen in this world. I think about the people at First Baptist Church, Sutherland Springs, Texas, November 5th, 2017, sitting in church, listening to the preacher, probably thinking, you know, this is a little overdramatic. Why do we need to hear this? I've got things to do. But we know what happened when somebody came in. 26 lives were taken. 26 people stood before the Lord in an instant. It's a preview of what's to come. A preview of what we have. Everyone that we have. Charleston, South Carolina, 2015. 9 people that were sitting in church. And they go to stand before their Lord just like that. A preview of what we have to come. I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Got your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Going back to the stress test, you know, your heart gets worked up. The doctors look and they see. But it's a way of seeing the condition of the heart. And this morning, I want you to see the condition of your heart. And I'm not going to be the one to read the results, but you are. As you stood and you listened, or as you sat and you listened to the words that were being spoken that said that you will not be leaving the way that you came in. The words that were spoken that said, forget about the plans you made, because all the former things have passed away. The words that were spoken that said that everything that is done in secret will be exposed. The words that said, there are only two ways. There's the right and there's the left. There's heaven and there's hell. Two ways. All of those words, what did that conjure in your heart? Did it begin to get a little nervous? Did it begin to flutter a little bit? Did you begin to get concerned? Did you begin to think this is hitting a little too close to home? What we gave this morning is a spiritual stress test to see the condition of your heart. And only you can read those results. I can't see. But as I prepared to say the names, As I prepared to say the names of each and every person, man, woman, and child, to come forward, to get a little nervous about your name. You shouldn't have that. You don't have to have that stress. You don't have to have that nervousness. You don't have to have that feeling in your heart that, ugh, this could be bad. It is a preview of things to come. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Listen to this. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." We must all appear before the judgment seat, and we will be judged according to all that we've done, whether it be good or bad. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men and women. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." In that second verse there, it said, "We persuade, we persuade." Sean spoke a little bit about the world, what the world tries to tell us, tries to tell our kids. What the world tries to teach us about hell is not the same as what the Bible tells us about hell. It's not. It's a caricature. It's a party. It's a place where you can go and do all the bad stuff you want with other bad people. That's not what hell is. That's what Satan wants you to think hell is, but it's not. It's a place of everlasting torment. You say, "Why are you talking about hell this morning?" Jesus talked about hell more than he did about heaven. And that's not just a saying. That's something that's, if you go and look, he did. Why? Because he loved us. He wanted to tell us what he knew was to take place. And so he told us all of these things. He told us about the man that was in hell that was looking up to Lazarus and was begging for just a drop of water to cool the tip of his tongue. He tells us about that man and about how there was a great gulf that was fixed between him and heaven and that he could not go. The man pleads with Abraham to send Lazarus to come and to warn his brothers that are living. To warn them. Give them a what? A preview of what is to come. A preview of judgment. It's what he wanted more than anything, was to give a preview of the judgment that is to come for sin, and sin that is not reconciled with God. But Abraham told him, he said, I cannot, because there is a great gulf that is fixed between us and you. And he said that even if Lazarus was to come back from the dead, they would not believe him, because they haven't believed anything they were told up until that point. And they would no longer believe. And so I say this morning, a preview of what is to come. To look in here and to see what it is that lies ahead of every man. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And so we give you an opportunity this morning to hear what it is that happens, to understand what is at stake, to understand that it doesn't matter your attendance, to understand that it doesn't matter your family connections, whether or not your parents were Christians, whether or not your spouse is a Christian, whether or not, you know, you started a church. Those things are irrelevant. Whether or not you're sitting in this sanctuary and you're a pastor, that's not what is going to be looked at. What's going to be looked at is the condition of your heart whether or not you have applied the blood of Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice that was given for us. We get a preview of that in the Old Testament. When the angel of death appeared before the children of Israel, and when Moses told them, gave them instructions, you are to take an unblemished lamb, you are to prepare it, you are to take the blood and apply it to the doorpost. And when he sees the blood, it will pass over. The blood is the key. The blood of Jesus Christ. Not that was taken. Not that was forced. But the blood that was freely given so that we could have remission of sin. So that we could have forgiveness of our sin. Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. And he resisted temptation. And he resisted the devil. And he resisted sin. And he told us about the judgment. And he told us about how to live righteously. He told us how to live our lives. He told us how to repent. He told us how to ask for forgiveness. And then he went beyond just telling us things. He went beyond just giving us advice. Or giving us a preview. He went on to give himself and his life. No greater love hath any man than this, that he lay down his life for another. And so he became that sacrifice. That we might live. Not only that we might live, but that we might not be scared. That we might not worry. That we might not be nervous when it comes the time for our name to be called, for us to stand before others. Without the remission of sin, how scary would it be for other people to see the stuff in your life that only you know about? What did Jesus say? What does the Bible say that the repentance of sin does? It says it hides a multitude of sins. They see somebody that's saved. Somebody that's covered by the blood of the Lamb. Somebody that's been bought with a price. Somebody that's been purchased with the ultimate sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. So that we may be saved. And not only that, but we can live in comfort, knowing that we don't have anything to worry about. Knowing that we can come into church and not worry about who comes through the doors and what they have in mind. That you can be in church and you can have that comfort. Maybe not knowing what's going to happen physically, but knowing what's going to happen spiritually. You shouldn't be afraid to meet your Maker. You should be excited. You should be thankful. To be able to see the one that made a way for you to have life and have it everlasting. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Well, there's going to be a lot of people happily bowing and happily confessing because they do it here on earth. We bow down here on earth before God. We bow down and humble ourselves before Him. And we look forward to doing that because we're thankful for what He has done for us. We stand and we give Him praise gladly. Gladly, Les, for what He has done for us. We're not afraid to bow and we're not afraid to stand and praise Him. But there are going to be some that are going to be forced to bow and forced to praise Him. And I'm convinced that the saddest word in the English language is regret. Regret is the saddest word in the English language, especially when things are final. When you regret something that you didn't do in your life, when you can no longer do it. Now think about the regret that happens when people stand before the Lord unprepared. Unprepared. There's no reason to be unprepared this morning. We are preparing you for what is to come. The Bible prepares you for what's to come. We're not just saying things and making things up. I want to move on to verse 20 to kind of explain what it is that we do as Christians and as preachers and as a church. I thank God for a church that still gives previews of what everybody has ahead of us. I thank God for a church where our pastors tell us the truth of life, where they tell us what it is that the world doesn't want to tell us, where they tell us and they make clear the things that the world has made fuzzy or has changed. That, Sean, the right and the wrong can still be seen and it's not flipped upside down. Man, it bothers me so much that when Moses went on the mountain, that the people, that the leaders, they got together and they said, hey, God didn't lead us out of Egypt. These gods that we're getting ready to make, they led us out of Egypt. It bothers me that God was taken and cast aside and they just created something else. But that's what we do today. We take what God has created and we take it and we say, hey, this isn't how we got here, and this isn't how life, you know, came here, but this is. This isn't wrong. This is wrong. This isn't right. This is right, what we're getting ready to tell you. And so it gets so mixed up. But I'm glad that we're willing. We have a church that's willing to go and to say what's right and what's wrong, and also to say what's going to happen. I want to go to verse 20. It says this, now when we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Beseech means plead. We are ambassadors for God, who is pleading for you to be saved. We pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, is what it says. We are God's messengers, not just pastors, but all Christians are God's messengers to plead with you to be reconciled with God. To plead. Why do we need to plead? Because we know what lies ahead, and because we care. And it goes on to say, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so it is that that's what we do this morning. You say you're just trying to scare people. Yeah, it's pretty scary stuff, okay? It's pretty scary stuff. When you talk about eternal stuff, that's pretty scary stuff. When you talk about hell, that's pretty scary stuff. We ought to be scared. We ought to be scared if we have not been reconciled to God. Say, that's pretty tough. It is. But it's not me. It's not me. Last time I worried about... I say worried, but last time I thought, oh, I don't know how this is going to go. Little boy got saved. And what if I hadn't have done it? Shoo, man. I'm thankful. I'll just say this. It was Hayden got saved one morning. And it was when we were having communion later. And he got saved that morning, came to the altar, got saved, and a few minutes later, he's going through the communion line. Got to watch him go through the communion line. All was well with him. And he asked the Lord in his heart. And then a little while later, He got baptized right out here in this creek. Thankful for a God who does that. A God who does that, who beseeches us, who pleads with us, who begs us. He stood before his death and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, as I'm like a hen that would gather you under my wings, but you've rejected me." And that's what he does. He pleads with us to accept him. I'm not going to drag it out because I'm just going to start repeating myself. But we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. Instead of an invitation, an open invitation for all the needs, for anybody who has a need in the church, we're going to do two different invitations, okay? The first invitation is designated specifically for those who want to ask the Lord into their life. The first invitation, if you have a need, if that bothered you, what was read earlier this morning, if that bothered you about you being called before the judgment seat, if the stress test made your heart skip a beat or get a little nervous about what it was, if you couldn't say for sure which door you would go through, this one or this one, if you got nervous about the thought of not going back to your home or not continuing your life here on earth, then you come and you reconcile to God. We beseech you. And it'll be the best decision that you ever make. Then we'll do another altar song for anybody who has any need whatsoever. Not that that's less important, but we want you to be saved. We want you to be saved. As they come to give a song, let us all stand. You know, earlier I said, every man, woman, and child. So I'm talking to every man, woman, and child in here this morning that hears my voice. If you need to be saved, if you're a child, then you reach for your mom or dad's hand and you tell them you want to go to the altar. If you're unsaved and you're an adult, then you reach for your spouse. Reach for somebody you know. If you don't know anybody, reach for whoever's closest. They'll come to the altar with you. We come to the altar. If you need to be saved, go ahead and do it right now. Don't waste time. Don't give Satan time to talk you out of things like he almost talked me out of doing this morning. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Be not afraid. As we give the invitation and you have a need to be saved, then you come. Grab somebody and come.
Page 241, 241.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part, I see nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Song, I just want to ask everyone to close your eyes. If you had a need to be saved this morning, and maybe just couldn't find the way to do it, or couldn't picture how to come up here on your own, we won't bug you, but why don't you just raise your hand? Nobody looking around. If you have that need, and you know that it's soon that you need to make that decision, we ask you just raise your hand. Not for us, but for you. To acknowledge within yourself that you have that need. Anyone at all?
Adding to what Brother pastor said, the name of his service every time was the hour of decision.
Amen.
That's what it was. So Jimmy's invited you. This wasn't Jimmy.
Amen.
This was the Lord speaking through him. He wasn't pointing the finger to any of you. He's telling you it's time to wake up and realize. Now, we use this phrase, and I used to see it when I first came to this part of the country, out on the hillsides. Where will you spend eternity? We're going to live somewhere. What about you? Now, Jimmy gave you the invitation, but more than that, the Holy Spirit took that message. And if I wasn't saved, Jim, I'd be running. I'm honest with you. I'm honest with you. Please. Not for my sake, not for Aaron, not for Robbie, not for Jimmy, not for me, but for the Lord. Prepare to meet your God.
Amen.
I also got another shot. I don't know how many of you stopped there and get a bite to eat. But Skeeties, the young man died. Paul called me and said, Dad, he's gone. I don't know how old he was. But for a while, there's not going to be no more hot dogs. But it's in eternity. His mother left. His father left. And you know what? One of these days,
yeah, bless you.
It's going to be my turn. It don't matter how I'm buried. The thing is, if I go down right, I'm going to come up right.
Amen.
That's a good part of it.
Amen. Bless you.
Yeah. No wonder. We're going to sing. I think it's a very important message. And Jimmy, I can understand why you didn't want to. The devil don't want you to.
Yeah.
But I use this in funerals a lot. And I don't ever want to fail. It's appointed unto man wants to die. And we stop there. No. After this, the judgment. One on one. Mano a mano. One on one. Jimmy wasn't what he said he was. I'll take care of Jimmy. How about you? I went to church. My name's on the roll.
Yeah, bless you.
Is it in the Lamb's Book of Life?
Amen.
Well, he said, preacher, it's getting late and I'm hungry. It's later than what you think.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Bless
and
you.
Jimmy gave the message and I just felt such an urge that we need to invite you to come.
Amen.
If we had our way as pastors, nobody would leave here this morning lost.
Amen.
We're not looking for membership. No. We're looking for people to get saved. We're going to sing. And I want heads to be bowed. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. He gave a powerful message. Oh, he said, preacher, all he's trying to do is scare us. No, that's reality.
Amen.
That's reality. But I felt when he gave that message, my heart was beginning pump hard. And I said, Lord, there's a reason for that message. Some of us today will go on to eternity. Say Let's sing, Chris. Timmy, you get the invitation.
Page 255. 255.
There's plenty of time to come this morning.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord,
obedient this morning. We pray that you'll consider to just continue to pray for those, your loved ones that are lost. Keep that burden for your friends and your family. Keep that burden for those you've been praying for a long time. Don't give up. Don't give up praying for them. Don't give up, because the Lord deals with us. He deals with us. Anything else before we dismiss?